Okay, Rabotai, we're doing the Haftarot. So this week is a double header. It's Behar B'Chukotai. Last year we did B'Chukotai, Baruch Hashem. That was a pandemic Haftarah. And this year we'll do Behar. Although tomorrow we're not reading Behar, we're going to read the Haftarah B'Chukotai, but we have to register it, at least in the files that we did it. The Haftarah Behar is in Yirmiyah, chapter 32, starting from Pasuk Vav, and it goes for about 21 Pesukim. The Haftarah is a classic, as they all are. The theme of this Haftarah is a story of Yirmiyah. It's at the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. The morale of the people is very low. The Babylonians are already in Yerushalayim. They're attacking. The destruction is imminent. And the writing is on the wall already. The prophecy of Yirmiyah was given that the Jews are going to go into exile for 70 years. Galut Bavel. And Yirmiyah himself was in prison. The people, Yirmiyah was not a popular prophet. Since he gave the prophecy of doom, so they didn't like what he was saying. So, today, if they don't like what you're saying, so the committee just votes to lower your salary. Those days, they did that to Chacham Baruch and Cheresion. They didn't like what he was saying. The committee voted to decrease his salary by $5,000. So Ellis Aft and Milton Shalom came and said, we'll pay the difference. Don't worry what they said over there. Anyway, but in those days, they were real men. They threw a guy in jail. You know, like the rabbi says, forget about salary. They put him in jail. So Yirmiyah had an uncle, Uncle Shalom. Uncle Shalom had it's incredible. You're going to see this is today's root. It's incredible that we read this Haftarah today. It's exactly root of today's learning. Has an uncle, Shalom. Shalom has a son called Hanamel. Hanamel has a field, ancestral field. He falls on hard times. He's going to have to sell the field. The halakha says in Parashat Behar, which is the connection to the Haftarah, that the Goel, the closest of kin, of relative, if he's able to, has to come and redeem the field. That's exactly. And it's funny that you're saying that because the Mitzudat right away comes along and says, Kichen hayam mishpatam kemosh katub beboaz. Vayomer laGoel chelkat haSadeh im tigal geal rut peregima. It's an amazing thing that this Haftarah that we're reading here, we actually learned the same concept which was between the Goel, meaning Boaz or Tov. We didn't get to that denial yet, or refusal, but to redeem the field of Elimelech, of Mahlon. It's the same Geulah. So basically, Yirmiyah is going to redeem the field of his cousin. His cousin is Hanamel. And the Navi goes and tells us how they did it, with documents and papers, and they had to make the deal, you know, bona fide, according to the Halakha, according to the Minhagim. And then God told them to do this, by the way. God says, make sure you redeem the field of Hanamel and do it according to the law. Then he'll take the documents and he'll save them and put them in storage for safekeeping. And then after he does it, the million-dollar question is asked by the prophet to God. Yirmiyah asks God, Borei Olam, you ask me to make a redemption and buy a field, for what purpose? The Babylonians are going to take this country and take us all into captivity, kick us out of the land. Oh. The Galut is there. So why the fuss to buy this land so important and make documents as if what? I'm going to have a claim against this land? We're getting ousted from the land. We're going into exile. That's the question the prophet is going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why he's putting him through this seemingly exercise in futility.
Futile.
Exactly, exercise in futility. So that's the basic storyline of the Haftarah.
11:7.
This was the word of God. Hine Hanamel ben Shalom dodcha. So again, Shalom is the dod. So Hanamel, the son of Uncle Shalom.
It's his cousin.
Hazak Baruch, first cousin. Exactly like we said with Boaz and Ruth, Boaz and Naomi. Dodecha ba elecha lemor. He's going to come to you and he's going to say, Kene lecha etzadi. buy for me my field. Asher ba'anatot, in Anatot, it's a place. Ki lecha mishpat ha-ge'ula. Because you have the mishpat of the ge'ula liknot. You're the first of relatives. Vayavo elai hanamel ben dodi kedvar Hashem. Of course, devar Hashem yakum la'ad. God said it's going to happen. Sure enough, shortly thereafter, Hanamel shows up. Ben dodi meaning my cousin. El hatsara matara, that's a place. How does he explain hatsara matara?
Prison.
The prison, exactly. Why? Because Yirmiyahu was in jail. Exactly, he's in a holding pen. Who put him in prison? Bnei Yisrael put him in prison. Because they didn't like the fact that
he... like what he said.
Exactly. He said, Rabotai, you make teshuvah, there's hurban. Don't tell us that. We don't want to hear that.
He's still the simcha in jail.
So, exactly. Bidiyuk, fantastic point. He was able to get Devar Hashem in Hatzara Matara, fantastic point. That shows you that it's not the place where you are, it's mentally where you are. Very good. Vayomer elai kinena et sadi asher ba'anatot. Buy for me the field that's in Anatot. Asher be'eres bin yamin ki lecha mishpat Yerusha. The Yerusha, you're the next in kin of Yerusha. Therefore, the halakha says you're supposed to keep the ancestral properties in the family. Therefore, by buying it, he keeps it in the family. I knew right away that was Devar Hashem. I was expecting it. Hashem already gave him the heads up before. So he redeemed it. He bought it from Hanamel. Otherwise, Hanamel would have to sell it. So therefore, he bailed them out. He bought the field from Hanamel. Ben Dodi, Asher Ba'anatot, Va'eshkela lo et ha-kesem. Now the Navi goes out of its way to say how he paid. He weighed the money.
Shva'a. Silver.
Yeah, the silver, exactly. Shva'a shekalim, so seven shekalim, and asara ha-kesem, which is a price to pay.
Not too much, right?
$70,000.
No. Again, we can guess that's the price. Va'echtov ba-sefer. Then the Navi says... he wrote the sale of document, the bill.
Deed.
The deed, exactly. Va'ktob ba'sefer, va'ihtom. It was sealed. Va'ed edim. And also it was signed by Wednesday. The reason why the Navi is going out of its way to say how much they did it, you're doing a business deal, knowing that you're going to get into exile, what is this paper going to be worth? You're signing it, you're stamping it, you're notarizing it. There's nothing. The land is going to go into the hands of your enemies. Was anybody, any Babylonian going to say, oh, here, I respect this title over here? But he's going out of his way because that's what Hashem said. They weighed the silver. And then there's the famous, of course, Sefer HaMikna. And that is the Sefer HaMikna. The way they explain it is Shtar Kinyan. That's the actual, the bill of sale that was sold. Ete Hatum, what was sealed. HaMitzvah V'Hokim V'Tagalui. Now, these are different things. Mitzvah V'Hokim, the way they explain it, and they followed all the common law practices of in those days, what you have to do to make sure that a sale is bona fide. You know, every time and place has different minhagim. You know what they do to make a sure sale. So they wrote all the documents. Veta galui. Now, what is veta galui? So the mitzudar explains kishu hatum miyad ba'al asadeh. So one is the ba'al asadeh, meaning Hanamel signed it hatum that he sold it to. Yirmiyah and hamitzvah v'chokim. That means the common law practice. And then ve'etagalui who shtar shekatubo shemichilan asab begalui pepersum. Right. They used to have a custom in the olden days that they would write. They still write it today, like lawyers. This sale was done without any coercion, and it was done in public, and everybody knew about it, and nobody contested. There was no. It's like they do a title search to make sure nobody's. So this was like the galui. Everybody should know there was nobody contested it. Everybody said the sale was the sale. That's the galui letter, like a letter of disclosure. We'll call it today. Fine. Who is holding the documents? The prophet Baruch ben Neriya ben Mahseya le'ene Hanam el Dodi. Now this is a little complicated here. Now it calls le'ene Hanam el Dodi. It should really say le'ene Hanam el ben Dodi. Hazaka Baruch. Rashi is terribly bothered by this. Rashi says, "Ve'ad achshav kira'o ben dodi, shema shnayim hayu." Wow! So Rashi goes so far to say maybe it's a different guy.
Wow!
Ad kedekak. What are the odds? We never heard the name Hanamel before, and now you got two of them. He says, "It can't be. It's a different guy." Ben dodi. He says, "Ve'im en zot lo yadati mahu." He says, "If you don't say it, I don't know what to tell you." I don't know how this works. Although Mitzudot comes along and says, when it says Ben Dodi, he makes it as if Ben Dodi Yani, Dodi Ben Dodi Yani. It's short. It's short for that. That's the way he learns it. Okay. Nonetheless, Lene Aidim, according to Mesefer HaMikna, in front of the witnesses, Lene Kole Yehudim. Wow. Like we're going to see in Megillat Rut, when they're going to do the sale next week. Exactly. They're doing it in front of all the people, so everybody could see that this was done without anybody contesting it. Who's the Jews? This is whoever was in Otisville, whoever was with Yirmiyah in jail, in Hasara Matara. And I commanded Baruch, Ko amar Hashem Sevaot Elohe Yisrael, lakohat esifrem ele, take these documents, et sifra mikna hazeh, ve'et hachatum ve'et sifra galui, the bill of the deed, the document of disclosure, untatam bechlichares, put them in a earthenware vessel, lema'an yamdu yamim rabim. Again, that's to add to the fact, as if one day this document is going to be needed. Now you're writing a document at a time that is so far-fetched. What are you even redeeming fields for? The field's not worth a penny. Which means even the fact that he had to pay money, what are you paying money for something that is not going to be worth anything in very, very soon? And here's the prediction that God said. Od yikanu batim v'sadot uchramim ba'aretz hazot. That's going to come a day that they're going to buy houses. Imagine somebody predicting last June that there's going to come a day where people are going to start buying real estate in Manhattan again. So what are you talking about? That's it. Manhattan's over. The people are going away. It's moving away. It's done. The mayor, the governor, all of the Shaim, it's finished. Move on. What a Florida. But this was even a bigger prophecy than New York. Because here, the enemies, we had enemies. They kicked us out. They destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. And we know what happened. But the prophet was told by God, mark my word, Od yikanu batim v'zuchim ma'aretz hazot. So this actually was a sign of a Kadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell Yirmiyah, there's hope. Don't give up. And the proof is, I'm making you buy this property to show you that although it's bad now, this is a sign that in the future it's going to get better. That was the symbolism of why I made him do it. Now, right after it's all over, Va'et Palel El Hashem, he makes a tefillah to God. Aharei titi et sefer ha-mikna el Baruch ben Neriyah. After he gave over the documents, he says, aha is like, whoa, Hashem Elokim. Hine ata asita et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-ares. You're the creator of the shamayim, the heavens and the earth. Bechohacha gadol, with your great strength of Mizrahu'acha netuya, lo yipale memecha davar. Which means, you know everything. So that she says, what do you mean you know everything? Ve'yodeya ata shesofenu leglot. You know that we're going to end up in Galut. Ve'lama amarta li liknot sadeh. Why did you tell me to buy the sadeh? Now Yirmiyah is asking for an explanation. Rav Zaitchik over here has a phenomenal piece on this reaction of Yirmiyah. What do you mean Yirmiyah's questioning God? Hashem told him to do it. What is he coming along and saying, hey, God, don't you know what's going to happen? Of course God knows what's going to happen. So he comes along and he says a tremendous, tremendous yesod. But he has some great, great lines. So I want to read it from the Sefer itself. Eliyahu, pay attention to what we're saying over here. Okay? So he says like this. He writes, Beram zeh ulanu lekach tov vehora'a belchot emunah. He's the teacher of Hilchot Emunah. She'asechel ha-gadol, it's an unbelievable line. How would you explain sechel ha-gadol, the greatest brain? He says, he had temimut. The greatest brain is the brain that is tamim. That doesn't ask questions. That doesn't ask for reasoning. That's the best brain. Like we saw in the Tehillim, 1 week we read, Adam u'behema, toshi Hashem. And the Gemara said, Elu b'nei Adam, she'osim atzmam kebehema. What does it mean, osim atzmam kebehema? Which means when God tells them to do something, they shut their brain off. Behema has no sechel. Behema asks questions, doesn't ask questions. Adam u'behema. So therefore, he says, the greatest sechel is the sechel that's able to be tamim when God says to do something. Liot tamim Hashem. Ve'lo lachkor ve'lo leharher. Not to interrogate, not to question. Lo lebakish ta'amim. That's the most intellectual guy. In society today, it's the opposite. They think the smartest guy is the guy who interrogates and the guy who questions. And that's what they tell you in college. Question everything. Don't accept anything for face value and all that. For certain things, maybe it's true. But when it comes to God, that's sechel metumtam. That's a sechel that's hatum v'satum. Because they question and they never get to believe. Because they're too busy questioning. Right. So sometimes the best sechel yashar is close it off. The temimut. Eliyeli bo nachon. Listen, Borei Olam smart. Borei Olam knows what he's doing. Oh, so therefore he says like this. Yirmiyah, he has a big question on God. But when did he ask the question? After he did it.
In Kilomino.
Exactly. Which means he didn't come along and say, hey, you asked me to buy a field. God says to do it. Zirizut. From jail. He got the sale done. Only after it's done, Rav Zaitchik says, you have a right to understand it. Okay, but I'm... exactly, I did it. I'm not questioning. Now, can I understand what exactly... And Borei Olam doesn't get angry. Borei Olam says, Adraba, I'm explaining it to you over here. Exactly, you took it in upshot. You're not to understand what the Sivui is. So long as you ask it the next day, not the day. And that's what one day we explained the Haggadah Shel Pesach once. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Hakam and the Rasha both asking questions. The Hakam says, Ma'edut, Aukim, Meshmatim, Meshesivah, Hashem, Elokeinu. The Rasha is asking a similar question. Ma'avodah Zot Lachem. Okay, he's not, he doesn't ask with as respect like the Hakam, but they're both asking, what's going on here? So what's the difference between the Hakam's question and the Rasha? They're both asking, what is going on here? What are we doing? If you look at the Torah, when the Torah introduces the Hakam's question, it says, Vayakish alecha bincha mahar. So I think the Malbim says, the Hakam asks after the Seder, mahar. Which means at the Seder, he don't ask. At the Seder, he eats the matzah, eats the maror, everything. The next day, he says, okay, Dad, I did it. You told me to do it, I did it. Not going to stay. What are we doing? The Rasha, he's ma'avodah zot. What's this here? He's at the Seder already, trying to... Okay, yeah. And the father's telling him, it's chatzot, just eat the matzah. No, I'm not eating it until I understand. Okay, so get out of here. Go watch. Go upstairs, watch Netflix. Get out of here. You're in a shot. We can't explain it to you. Understand the difference? And what's the proof that he brings of Zaychik? The classic derasha in the Midrash of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is told to do the Akedah. The hardest test in the history of the world. Makes little sense on many levels. What about Hesed? What about the Tziha? What about Kibi Yitzhaki Kanele Chaza? All the questions. Avraham Avinu doesn't... After God tells him don't do it, so the Hazal come along and say, after the fact, Avraham, v'yomer hineni, al tishlach, don't do it. Amar bi Abba, amar li Abraham. Now Abraham opens his mouth the first time. If it is the fechasihati, Borei Olam, I want to have a discussion. Etmol amarti di kibi tzakik gazara. Yesterday you told me Yitzhak is my progeny. And then you tell me, Kahnat bin Kha, Chaidecha. And now you tell me, Atashlach. By the way, it's a braita. You have stirote. Metive, Avraham Zizki, Metive. The word of God. You told me, now, you want to understand the stira in the word of God? We do that all day in Talmud. What is the Gemara? The word of God. What all day we're doing? Metive, answer, question, reconciliation. I want to understand the Son of Hashem. That's Avraham's Gemara. Now why does Borei Olam say, hey, I told you to do it? I did it. If Avraham would have asked this before the Akedah, explain to me. Then Rabbi Avraham says, you blew it. And that's the whole key of Emunah. Emunah is, it's okay to ask questions, but not before, only after. So for Yirmiyah, it's okay to ask this question of him. Great, great point. Oseh chesed alafim, he keeps to use his questions. Oseh chesed alafim, Borei Olam. He does chesed la'alafim, kindness for the generation for thousands of years. Umshalim avon avot, God pays the avon avot al haq bin hemahalim. Sometimes God's patient, but the children, generations following it. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor. Now listen to this. Listen to the language that the prophet uses. Ha'el, God is the strong God. Ha'gadol. Gadol means, sometimes we use it as gadol, meaning in chesed. Great. Gibor means... In Giburah, that means judgment. Hashem Sivakot Shemua, the God of the legions. Where's Hanora? In the Amidah, we have Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor VaNora. Yirmiyah conspicuously leaves out Nora, so that she comes along and answers that question. Velo Amar VaHanora. He didn't say VaHanora. Amar Goyim Merakedim BeHechalo Ayenor Otav. The Goyim are dancing in his palace. Where's the Nura? Nura means God is fearful, fearless. We fear him. Where's the fear? So he couldn't say Nura at the time that this was happening. Later on, the Anshikanis to Gedolah, when they would establish the Amidah, we're going to learn it in the Gemara Yoma, they would put Hanura back in the Amidah because, like this Rabbi Yirmiyah and others, they said, Ayyeh Nur Otav. They destroyed the temple, and then the Anshikanis to Gedolah would come along and say, Hen Nur Otav. The fact that there's one sheep that's able to live and coexist amongst 70 wolves, that you see is not otav. You still see with all that they're doing to us, that we're still able to be. Just look at that after the Holocaust. Nobody thought that Klai Yisrael would be anything after the Holocaust. And when you see that Klai Yisrael not only survived it, but look at the Torah world, that it flourished. So Rapam says, hen not otav. That you see the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That no matter, and where are they? Most of the enemies, the Germans might be an exception, that which is really because they're Amalek. Most of the other enemies that came after the Jewish people, they're relics today. Germany is the exception. They're still around. They're still strong. Because it's Amalek. Amalek is not going to leave until Mashiach comes. But all the other nations that came after us, they're gone. They're in the museums. So he says, Hen not otav. So he says to the, this is a famous line. Chamaruch Alav Hashem used to say this line at the end of every funeral, if you remember. Gedol ha'etza v'ra v'aliliya. אשר עיניך פקוחות על כל דרכי בני אדם, לתת לאיש כדרכיו וכפי מעלליו, אדוני נתן ואדוני לקח, ישם אדוני מבורך מעתה ועד עולם, להגיד כי ישר אדוני צורי ולא עוולה, that's a Baruch's classic ending of his eulogies. I don't know why, but I think I'm the only one, Bala Tashbi, that followed the rabbi's style when it came to eulogies. Even the children, his eulogies would start with a pasuk.
Always.
He didn't say, if you don't start with a pasuk, then how do you start? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a funeral. So when he starts with the pasuk, you know what that does? That, wow, that sets. That's a very serious tone, because first of all, it's Hebrew, it's a pasuk, it's not a regular derash. Shabbat shalom, rabotai. Tonight, so that's dedicated by, this is, that's the way he did it. And then he would end up with these pesukim over here.
Rabbi ends also?
Always. Same. Always, always. This is, we learned from the rabbi how to deliver such a dirash. I mean, we shouldn't have to deliver it.
What's the explanation of those?
Oh, that's the main thing. Gedol ha'etza. There's a great hida over here too. Gedol ha'etza, we're going to explain it according to Radak. She'etzotav gedolot. Umaasav rabim masigam, which means Bori Olam's thinking is gedol, is beyond us. Gedol ha'etza, Hashem's ideas and Hashem's doings. Umaasav rabim masigam. V'rav aliliya. Rav aliliya means he has many doings, many actions. Rav aliliya hamaaseh. The Radak explains it, which means God has many, many ideas. He has many actions. Asher enecha pekuhot. God's eyes are opened. Al kol darche bnei adam,
whose eyes are cognizant of all the ways of humankind.
Exactly, God's watching. Now this is so important because the Radak says, "Lo kemo she'amru en Hashem ro'eh otanu." That will be tomorrow night's the Rasha and Seudah Shlishit, talking about this opinion that was very prevalent and still prevalent today.
That he left.
So therefore, we come along and say, "No, ki chol ve." Enecha pekuhot al kol darchei bnei adam, latet la'ish kedrachav, and therefore everybody's going to get reward or punishment according to his ways. Uchfri ma'alalav, and like the fruits of his actions. There's two things were said over here. Le'ish kedrachav uchfri ma'alalav. It's two different things here. What's le'ish kedrachav? Anytime we do something, so our actions have impact on other people as well. That's the peri, especially if you're a parent. So your actions are going to have repercussions on your children. So therefore, if a person, let's say, was on the good derech, so therefore you're going to get reward for your derech, and you're going to get reward for the fruit that came out of your derech, that your children are also following the right footsteps. Or how so, the opposite. That if the person's on the wrong derech, and they learned from you, so therefore, latet le'ish kedrachav uchfri ma'alalav. That's going to be you're rewarded and punished for that as well. Now, Rav Chida says something beautiful over here. So he says, there's a Gemara. Beautiful. So when God punishes, sometimes it seems that the punishment to an individual is not just. Why? Because let's say a person murders, and now they catch him, and they put him in prison. Okay, but it's not really justice, because what did his wife do? Now his wife has to suffer. What did his kids do? So seemingly, the justice that happens on a human court, it's not it's collateral damage, and they can't control the collateral. It's a Tafhidah writes, but when God puts punishment,
each sigh is taken.
Everybody's trouble that's going to have a repercussion from the tsa'at is taken. And if one person doesn't deserve it, so it's not going to happen.
Wow. In other words, that wife deserved it.
Bidiyuk. If it happens, like it says like this, Mishpate Adonai Emet, Sadeku Yahdav. The Mishpatim of Hashem are Emet. It's justice across the board. That means until it's justice, Sadiku Yahdav, it won't happen. Which is amazing. That's why they say, if a person that God forbid has a sick person in his house, Yerech Yetzel Tamid Hakam. Go to the Tamid Hakam. The simple explanation is, and Hakam will pray for you. But according to this explanation is, the Hakam will feel bad. And he doesn't deserve to feel bad.
He's
not in the equation. You cause the Hakam to feel bad. He's an innocent guy. Okay, we got to put a suspension on the punishment so the Hakam doesn't feel bad. Understand? You're trying to go to a tzaddik, because you know maybe the tzaddik is not part of it. So when the tzaddik says, I couldn't sleep last night. Beauty. When the tzaddik tells you that, that means he's getting tzar. Hashem, if I deserve it, what did the tzaddik do? Understand how it works? So he comes along and he says, the Gemara says, Lo chashid kutsha berichu, da'avid dina belo dina. The simple explanation is, God is not suspect to do judgment if the person does not deserve the judgment. Like the Gemara says, when Rav Huna, his barrels of wine turned into vinegar. And he came along and said, why did this happen? And the rabbi said, you better check your ways. He said, I checked my ways and I'm okay. So he said, you're suspecting God that's doing judgment without, check your ways again. And then when he checked his ways again, he found a small issue. So therefore, the Rav Chidah learns, lo chashid kutsha berichu, da'avid dina belo dina. So he explains the double language. He doesn't do din to A if it's not going to be dina to B, C, D, and E, and F. So lo chashid kutsha berichu, da'avid dina belo dina. That's how he's learning it? That has to be din across the board. So this is the way he learns the pasuk. Gedola etza. God has many ideas, many thoughts. Many actions. The ways of God are deep. That when God gives a justice, he looks at all the people. He's not just looking at the person. Which means, you would say, why do you have to look at Adam? If he's giving a punishment to an individual person, let him look at him. Kilomar, Dan Yadin Kama bin Adam. Sometimes God has to judge many people in order to give one person what he deserves. But it's going to cause sar and yisurim to the relatives. He's mashkiah. He's all the collateral, like you called it, Jacob, is taken into Hezbon. Exactly. Everybody gets their just. There's another explanation that Rav Chidah says in this pasuk, which is also beautiful. He says, there's a famous question that the Rambam says. And he says that it's one of these philosophical things that human beings are not capable to comprehend it because it's beyond the scope. So if he just says, accept it. And what is that? Question is, does God know everything that we're going to do before we do it? Yes. So therefore, we don't have free will. That interferes with our free will because God knows already the end of the story. So therefore, whatever we do, must be, it had to be done because God knows that we were going to do it. So therefore, it was never predetermined. So therefore, it takes away our free will. So therefore, how do you reconcile God's knowledge against our free will? And the Rambam says, it's not a contradiction. The answer, I don't have the answer, wait till Mashiach comes, but it's not a contradiction, although it seems as a contradiction. So the Vahidah says, Shekiv Yachol, Yodei HaKol, God knows everything. Ve'en yidi'atom machrahat, but his yidi'ah doesn't force us or interfere with our free will. Ve'zeh shekatuv, gedol ha'etzah, Borei Olam knows everything. Asher enecha pikuhot, his eyes are open, he knows what you're going to do. Ve'lefanav digle ha'kol. Ve'im kol zeh, latet la'ish, he can still reward a person. Why? Because you still have free will. That means, and therefore, we shouldn't get reward or punishment because it's all already predetermined. No, latet la'ish. Why latet la'ish? We have free will. I thought enecha pikuhot. It's reconciling that contradiction. So therefore, the Rav comes in, Yirmiyah comes along and says here, Asher samta ototu mofetim beretz Mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh. It's interesting. The ototu mofetim beretz Mitzrayim, the miracles in Mitzrayim, ototu mofetim beretz Mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh. So one explanation might be, mezi ad hayom hazeh, that we still see the after effects of the miracles of Mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh. For example, when they have a locust, for example, the locusts will not go to Egypt. It says Adayom Hazeh, because it says Lo Nishar Arbe Ehad Bechol Givul Mitzrayim. When they have locusts in the Middle East, it doesn't go to Mitzrayim. So you still see the miracles of Mitzrayim and other things like that. So therefore, there's still ramifications of that miracle Adayom Hazeh. Or the Pshat, we still talk about it Adayom Hazeh. Ubi Israel Uba Adam. Israel is the Jewish people, and Adam was referring to the Egyptians. Vataas Lecha Shem Kayom Hazeh. Your name is great. Up until this day. What it means to say, we say about Adam, the same ototu mofetim that you did to the Egyptians as a makkah was a refuah for Bnei Israel. Like it says, Rafo v'nagof. The same medicine was a poison for the Egyptians and was a medicine for Klal Yisrael. So that's what it says. Ubisei ba'adam, v'totze et amecha et esem es Mitzrayim be'ototu mofetim el hazaka. Ub Ezroa Netuya. That's like Ezroa Netuya. Ub Horagado with great, great miracles. But the Tetlehem et Ares Azot. And you gave them the land. Asher Nishbata La Avotam La Tetlehem. Eres Avat Halav Udvash. The land of flowing milk and honey. Vayavo'u Vayirishu Ota. But what happened after we inherited it? Velo Shame'u Bekolecha. They didn't heed to your voice. Ubeturatecha Lo Halachu. It called Asher Sivita Lahem Na'asot, whatever you commanded them to do, Lo Asu. But Tikra Otam, it called Na'azot. As a result, all the bad has befallen us. All this. Now he says, Hine has Solelot Ba'u'a'ir. The Solelot are here already. What was the Solelot? So the Mefarshim explained it over here, the Radak, these are the wooden items that are used to hurl rocks against the catapults, as we call them. The catapults, that's exactly what it is. The catapults that are used in order to hurl rocks against the walls of Yerushalayim. He says, already the Solelot, that would be like in our terminology we would say, the tanks already are in the city. Solelot Bawa'in, Leluchda, Va'in Netina Biyad HaKastim. The Kastim, which is the Babylonians, already the land is in their hands. Hanilchamim Aleha, Bepnei HaChereb, there's sword, there's Ra'av, there's famine in the city, v'daber, and there's pestilence, there's magifah. V'asher dibarta haya v'hinecha ro'eh. And exactly like God said, v'hinecha ro'eh. And then he asks this question. V'ata amarta elai, Hashem Elokim, kene lecha sadeh b'kesef, buy a field. Who's buying fields? Imagine, during the time of the Holocaust, imagine you call a real estate agent, I'm looking for something in Berlin. But the war, World War II, they bomb you. The real estate, no one's showing you an apartment in Berlin during the war. That's what happened over here. You told me, can elik have a kids, v'ayid edim, and bring witnesses. V'ayid netina b'yad kasdim. V'ayid devar Hashem al Yirmiyah lemor. And the answer that God says to Yirmiyah, hine ani Hashem elohe kol basar, hamemeni yipaleh kol davar. That's the answer. Hamemeni yipaleh kol davar.
You're questioning, is anything beyond my capability? Which means as bad as, but take the Holocaust. Somebody would say after the Holocaust, God, what's going to be? Well, you don't think I can recover you from this? You say, I can recover. And Baruch Hashem recovered. So therefore, Borei Olam says, even though it looks very, very bad, to the extent that the prophet, who's a prophet, says, I don't see it. Borei Olam says, you don't see it, you're going to see. And by the way, 7 years later, we came back and they built the second Beit HaMikdash. And the Jewish people were back in Eretz Yisrael and they had that rulership. And they what? And they took out the shtar, and they claimed that land. That land, 70 years later, went back to its ancestral owners, exactly like was told by God. The lesson of the Haftarah is, even though it seems very, very, very bliss, or very glim is the right word, there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.